You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I am Rob, alongside of Miles and Tori. Now, each week, the three of us will provide a technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that help move and predict this market. So, Miles, give us kind of a recap of the last week.
Yeah, let's take a look at the markets this past week. We record on Wednesdays. I haven't gotten to say this in a while, guys, but the metals are actually down over the past week.
Yeah, you were sounding like a broken record for months.
It was getting repetitive.
I was dreading coming to the recording. It's like, here goes Miles, up 5%.
Silver's up another 25% this week. Yeah, that's going to be the opposite there. So let's kick it off with gold. Gold down 11% from our recording last week, currently sitting at 4,960. And this is going to be a repeating theme, but that is definitely not the whole story for the week. We are going to dig deeper into it. But moving over to silver week to week, silver down 25% from our recording last Wednesday, currently sitting at $87.90 at the moment. So despite all the hubbub, silver still hanging around high 80s to low 90s, which is crazy to me. The other white metals, platinum down 20%, just under 2,200. It's sitting at 2,190. Palladium is down not quite as much, 17%. And sitting at 1,758. The metals move did translate some over into the equities market, although not as much. The S&P is down about 1.5%, currently sitting at 6,882. And the US dollar up 1.6% to 97.67 on the dollar index. So a little under 100. But back up to 97.67. So actually a pretty tepid week in the paper markets, a pretty big week in the physical metals.
There's a lot here. Before we move on, though, in the paper markets, the NASDAQ did drop through critical support. So the NASDAQ is not having a good week.
Yeah, there's weakness across the board, especially when you see the dollar up like that. I mean, at one point on Friday the 30th, which is what day it was when this crash really began, equities, digital currencies, yeah, gold, silver, platinum, yeah, palladium, all were down,
yeah,
and the dollar was sharply up. So that's to be expected, and that's not like that was a stock market crash or anything. Like, no, that was a commodity sector pullback.
And the cryptos fell too. I know Bitcoin's down, yeah, to 72,000 now.
Yep.
So there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also closed a month in January. 30th was the day that we saw the big crash. And unfortunately, it certainly hit portfolio values,
right,
for our clients. You know, we're getting ready to send out their month-end review and everybody was going to be more excited than ever. And it stole some of the thunder. But ho-hum, gold only finished up 14% in January. You know, like after the crash, silver, right, 19%. And silver, oh, at 19% in January, it was only the best performing asset so far in 2026. Still, here's Miles saying silver's down 25% this week, and it's still the number one performing asset in the country.
Yeah, you don't hear anybody talk about that.
No. So remain encouraged. We're going to dig deeply, and I know a lot of people are going to ask, like, why it happened. We'll get into that. But Miles, your images, as we zoom in, they're really powerful charts. Like, how big was the drop? On the 29th, we hit the all-time high in gold at $5,600. And it dropped $1,200 in one day. Rob, you worked here for like 35 years before gold even hit $1,200.
Yeah, before it even got there. Yeah, we lost all that in a day.
All that in a day.
Did that mean gold went to zero?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's like oil going negative.
Well, that's like playing poker, right? I mean, it takes you hours to make it and one hand to lose it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great comparison. Yeah. But that only took 2 days to, yeah, drop $1,200, two trading days. You know, everybody talks about gold being down 10% to silver's 30%, but that was just on the 30th. Gold really lost 21.5%, mm-hmm, from peak to trough, and it's strangely round numbers. Like, we topped at 5,600.
Isn't that interesting?
We dropped to 4,400. We rose $700 from the low to 5,100. You know, weird stuff. But anyway, it's rallied back 16% from the bottom. So even though we're down 11% in gold this week, it's a lot better than what we were doing before.
Well, and how long have we been moaning and groaning that we didn't have a chance to buy? because gold kept going higher every week.
Yes, locking us out. Right. Like afraid to chase it. That's a wonderful point.
So I, guess what? I just bought some more.
There you go.
I bought some on Friday. I bought some more today. I'm having fun.
Well, I meant to, and I've been so busy, I can't even manage my own portfolio.
Because, you know, listen, this market is not over. We're at the end of the beginning, but we are not at the end of this market.
Miles, I want you to talk about that. You and I were talking off air, and you've got a pretty powerful theory.
I don't know what you guys have been moaning and groaning about. I buy gold every 2 weeks. I could care less what the price is. I've been saying for years. And I actually think that ties into how we're looking at the metals move right now, because nothing has changed. And you know what's funny is people who are buying gold and silver, how many calls have you guys gotten this week with people complaining that the price is down? I think I'm at zero. Everybody kind of gets it.
I don't remember any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my point.
That's a great point.
And the reason I think that matters is that the people who remain involved in the precious metals market are people who buy precious metals. We are yet to see the general public flood into the metals market like we did, say, 2009, 10, 11, or like we did post-COVID. Mm-hmm. So, Tori, what that gets me thinking about is who has been involved in this market recently. I'm looking back to those first couple years that I worked here. You know, when I came to work here in 05, and I think this is key, I watched gold go from $250 an ounce to $1,100 an ounce. For the first 4 or 5 years that I worked here, it was primarily gold buyers, not the general public. The equities market was climbing as well. And we watched gold quadruple and nobody cared.
But even when that happened, Miles, nobody believed it either, because I was talking to people who were in the market with gold at 1,000. And you know what they were saying back then? Oh, I'll just wait for it to go back to 600.
Right.
Or I'll wait for it to go back to 800.
And it did.
Well, it did. But
well, it only did because of the crisis.
For a few months.
For a minute, yeah.
Yeah, no way.
A month and a half, you know, by the time a month and a half went by, it was already back over on the product price, not necessarily the futures price. But people back then didn't really believe in the market. I've only had a couple of people in the last week during this big sell-off say, well, I'm going to wait for it to go down more. I don't think people are thinking that right now.
No.
I think the belief in the market is radically different than it was 10, 15 years ago.
So I would argue in any major market cycle, you can break it into three pieces. You've got a consolidation phase, which is where the previous trend is ending, whether it's bull or bear. In our case, you know, the bear trend was ending between 2015, 16, 17, 18. Then you have an actual growth phase where the bull market is now taking over, and that tends to see a pretty significant period of growth percentage-wise. In gold's case, a quadrupling, which you can be made to argue that we're looking at a repeat of that same type of situation, but there's nothing happening on the other side that is causing people who are not interested in gold to get interested in gold. What we've been seeing so far is gold people buying gold, whether it's the Bank of China or whether it's my individual clients. What we've been seeing here is gold people buying gold for the last 6, 7 years. And lo and behold, we've gone from an $1,100 bottom in gold back in 2015 to $5,600. It's like a fivefold return. Silver, even more so. What we haven't had is the event that takes us from the end of the second phase of a bull market into the beginning of a third, where it becomes mainstream and the general public is getting involved pushing that price up. So, Rob, when you bring up things like, I'm looking at the S&P, which didn't have a very bad week, but it's really been languishing. You know, it's putting some new highs, but it's having a hard time of establishing momentum. And you're looking at the NASDAQ, which did break below a short-term, but a relatively important short-term floor. And if it were to continue down, there's some other points there. Maybe it's a stock market decline. Maybe it's interest rates. Maybe it's the bond market. You never really know what's going to be the thing that capitulates the market, starts sending it down, and causes people to look for other alternative options like precious metals, which historically has been a pretty safe guess when you're running for the hills, is you go back to the thing that has worked for 10,000 years. And the big boys have been doing it for years. The smart investors have been doing it for years. The general public will do it when they get forced to do so by something else. And that's going to spark the third phase of the bull market. So what's crazy about what we just saw happen in silver, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again, what we just saw happen in silver, not Friday, but the growth that we've seen over the last year or two, that's not silver moving forward. That's just been silver playing catch up.
Oh, that's so true. It's a repricing that was long overdue. And everybody's like, oh, they manipulated the price and they suppressed the price and typical of the silver market. And I think that there's some truth to that over time through shorting futures market with leverage and everything. That's a price suppression so that they can buy it cheaper and then let it flip and go long. And that's kind of what we've seen. And then the leashes let go. Right. And that's what you saw happen. Well, everybody wants to know, why did the 30th happen? And there's two primary triggers. Ultimately, we know it happened because of the snowball effect. But the first trigger, and zoom in on this chart, you know, you look at overnight, we're almost asleep, but China halted trading, okay? And people haven't really talked much about this, but they halted trading in five silver and commodity funds. And they say it was to limit risk amid volatility. It sounds so typical of government. And here's a headline that says, to maintain the stability of the capital markets. Okay, I get it. It was becoming unstable because there are a lot of people on the wrong side of the equation on this one. And to protect investors from huge losses. Like they had to come in and rescue everybody. Well, look at the chart. I mean, that is a off the cliff type of price action that happened still on the 29th. That was the night of the 29th.
And then what happened the next day in New York, Corey?
Exactly. Boom. Step two is the CME group comes in and they raise margin requirements for the fourth time.
Again.
What a coincidence. And that reminds me of back in like 2013 when they kept doing it. They piled on until everybody got out. And again, CME Group, they'll say the same thing.
They say the market. Yeah,
the increase in margin requirements makes holding speculative positions less appealing now. And this will also force a lot on the retail side of the market who do not have the extra liquidity to sell positions. So that sounds like stabilization.
Well, cui bono.
Cui bono. But it's definitely creating this. Who benefits from it? The large short position holders do, certainly. Those who had not positioned, like Rob, and felt like he was locked out, waiting for a pullback.
Not just that, but of the 500 million ounces that JP Morgan supposedly own, it is rumored that 300 of those million ounces, 300 million ounces, belong to China. And yes, they benefit because they're buying more.
Yes.
They wanted to shake the tree. It's like the famous quote, when the tide goes out, we'll see who's wearing swimming trunks. Somebody got caught naked.
Oh, for sure. Now, I'll tell you another thing is somebody knew this was coming, too.
Oh, yeah.
Think about those who shorted it in advance.
They literally doubled their money with leverage overnight. Yeah.
And that's disgusting. But as prices drop, more traders will face margin calls, which leads to more selling and even lower prices. And you get that snowball
avalanche compounding effect.
Yes.
And they knew it. Come on.
They totally knew it.
Well, that's always the mechanism. The mechanism is always hit the trailing stop losses and the margin call positions. All you really need to do is stomp your foot at the top of the hill. It's just got to be a big enough foot. And China is a big enough foot to get that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. But you guys, to be honest too, and Miles, I know we're doing a lot of charts this week and making your job difficult, but looking at the moving averages, let's be real. We had hit a euphoric melt-up type of
activity. I'm really actually grateful that they stomped their foot, to tell you the truth.
Yes. To me, it's like, okay, how high is it going to run? And would somebody really end up losing it? Yes. I mean, we had some people just price chasing. You never want to invest trying to catch a wave as it's going by you. And just looking at the moving averages, like just the 20-day and 50-day moving averages on gold and how far we had separated, gold got 16% above the 20-day moving average.
Wow.
And 26% above the 50-day moving average. And that's an enormous gap.
Those are short-term moving averages.
Well, these gaps got filled as Miles. Am I saying that right, Mr. Tech Guru?
You're doing great, Tori. Woo. I don't even need to be here. Okay. Keep going.
But silver got 29%. 29% above the 20-day moving average and 67% above the 50-day.
Wow.
And guess what? They both came down. And Miles, this is where I think this will do the listener a huge favor. If you can dig in here on the charts and tell us, okay, As far as what we would expect to see from a support on the way down, if we're looking at Fibonacci retracements, both in the short term, because the short term volatility at the end was like, wow, you could see us giving all of that away. But in the intermediate chart too, and see where they line up and see where they line up with those moving averages. Because from my first glance on Monday, it looked actually beautifully aligned with a lot of technical support levels that are kind of encouraging right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where chart monkeys earn their keep.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Every time you call me chart monkey, I'm calling you Bob. So, all right, hold on to your shorts, guys, because I'm going to say something that you may not believe. But if you just look at the short-term move in silver, which started back on November 5th, which was, what, 3 months ago, November, December, January. It's now February. So through the course of 3 months, we started at a bottom of around $47 on silver, and we ran up to $121 and change on silver in 3 months. I should be able to end the show right there, and any logical person would go, oh, we tripled in 3 months, obviously. So we could end the show there. But what I kind of love about this, and why I'm agreeing and understanding and looking at it from a chart perspective, what you're talking about with this being a trading driven, not a panic sell off. This is a trading driven move, because lo and behold, what did we do? We came down as soon as we touched the 50-day moving average, which was crossing the 618 Fib at the exact same time to the day on Monday. Here we are, hitting that 75 and change mark, and it bounced right back up and is now in between the 50% retracement and the 382 Fib. So whether it happens overnight or whether it happens over the course of weeks and months, support and resistance levels work and they get held, and people have standing orders there, and you've got stop losses at positions, and these things tend to remain true over time. So to see something like that, I don't personally think any religious devotion to a specific indicator is helpful to anybody from a trading perspective. What I like to do is I like to see where multiple things all come together at once. Do we have moving average convergence, divergence, and RSI and stochastics and Elliott wave and the guys that trade Fibs? If you see a point where everything is converging in the same place, you know there's a lot of people out there that are looking at it from their own angle and their own perspective, zooming into a certain point on the chart. And that point for silver was $75, given where the high was back on Thursday last week. That gives you your 618 retracement. That gives you a 100-day moving average return. We had a nice bounce back up to higher Fibs. In a short-term perspective, this is looking like a very beautiful corrective move back down in silver. Now, going forward, are we going to trade between, let's say, the 618 and the 382, which would put us in a trading range between 75 and 93? We could see silver take a breather here. And if that's the case, we end up getting some back and forth trading between the two. If we're taking the little bounce on a stair step down, I'd say you're probably looking, silver could run down as low as $63, $64. On the downside, that would be a very, very steep retracement. But you're still talking about starting at $47. You're still at a 50% return almost, even at probably the lowest you could expect to see silver get to at this point. So I think you've got to take it in context. I know how exciting the last couple months were for a lot of people who've just been waiting to be vindicated in silver. I get it. You've been waiting 10 or 15 years for the thing that you've been wanting to happen to finally happen. But think longer term than that. It's still happening. I had people calling me last week saying, hey, I hear silver is going to be $200. Well, if you think silver is going to be $200, the fact that it went from 120 down to almost 90 today, that doesn't have anything to do with it going to $200. It probably still will eventually. That doesn't have anything to do with silver. That has to do with the Federal Reserve Bank. So when markets start capitulating, that's when you take a step back, you take a deep breath, and like Tori said, you look for those entry points. So me personally, I couldn't care less. I buy gold and silver every 2 weeks because I love looking at charts. They don't affect how I invest. But if you're the type of person where charts do affect how you invest, I think you've got a really good trading range in here between like 75 and 85. And anytime I see that price in silver, sure, pull the trigger.
What about gold now? Did it line up as well on that short-term chart? Not that it had the same tripling that silver had in that short period of time, but again, with the separation from the moving averages, now we're hovering right around the 20-day moving average. What do you see there in terms of that being potentially a floor, that 4,400 level that we hit on Monday morning?
Yeah, I would argue where silver has really had one long run up, I would say gold has had two. We had the run up going from the middle of August down around 3,300 up to 4,300. And then it kind of trailed up for a little bit, but really this last leg up in gold started at the beginning of January. We're 4,300 again. It was when we were breaking above that previous high. And then all of a sudden we jump up $1,300 in a very short period of time, up to 5,600. So if you're really just looking at this last little leg in gold's movement just over the last month, same thing. You're looking at a very deep retracement that came through the deep 786 on the Fib. Just like silver, it came down to the 100-day moving average. It bounced back up hard, and we're sitting right at about the 50% retracement levels. The last month of gold looks a lot like the last 3 months of silver. Now, here's where they differ. If we go back to that bottom in August and you look at the longer time frame, you're looking at gold going from 3,300 to 5,600. So that's what a 70% rise since August. The decline that we had this past week just kind of broke a little bit below the 382 Fib and it touched the 50% line for 10 minutes. The gold retracement on kind of a more medium scale, the last handful of months, has actually been relatively tame compared to the growth that we've had. As of right now, you're looking at gold starting in August, 3,300. We're up, 50%+, even post the correction we had on Friday. So gold, yep. As per usual, the highs aren't as high, the corrections aren't as aggressive. It's not as volatile as silver, and they still hold true. So everything I'm seeing in the chart today has nothing to do with panic. This is not an overreaction to a new Fed chairman. I think all of that is just bobblehead TV noise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have to have a reason for something.
I think this is market manipulation in China and the CME here in the U.S. to put the foot down on the silver speculator. Kind of patting JP Morgan on the back as they're trying to cover their short positions.
Yeah, they're not nearly as large as they used to be. I think it's other banks that are sitting worse, like Citibank and what have you. But I'll tell you, the most disappointing thing about all this is that we had seen the gold-silver ratio come down to about 46-1. And that had a real quick reversal because of everything you just described. Gold has been steadier, a tamer pullback. When they're both climbing, silver climbs faster. When they're both falling, silver falls faster. So on that Friday, gold down 10%, silver down 33%.
We're at 57-1, silver to gold.
That's right. It's up more than 10 points. And that's taken a lot of accounts out of an indicated ratio trade at this point. And I'll tell you the other thing, and this is another chart that we've got to put up here, is when you look at the long term, going back 50 years, the gold-silver ratio, look at the end of the top and the end of the bottom. So as you spike to the high and then you fall to the low, when it finds that floor, it reverses very quickly. And I'm a little nervous that the way this is shaping up, I'm a little concerned that we've seen the low in the gold-silver ratio. We don't know and we won't know without retrospection.
But kudos to the people that said, okay, I think it's getting tighter, but let's do some now.
That's correct.
Because I had some people and they're like, oh, no.
It's going to 25. It's going to 30.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Just always take some win.
Just take some win. Yep. Take some win. And a lot of people did. So hats off to them because we don't have a crystal ball. But this is a wake-up call to people that get the stars in their eyes and thinking it's going to go to 15-1.
Yep. So this arguably 14-point move from the low back up to 60. We hit over 60 twice Friday and Monday.
Yeah,
and now we're down a little bit again.
About 57, 56. About 50,
yep. And so right we'll see what happens there with the ratio. And Miles, to your point earlier in the show, we'll see what happens with the dollar strength. Wouldn't surprise me one bit to see a little bit of a dollar rally that would enable gold to kind of chop sideways for a bit. But in the meantime, be encouraged. Things look healthy. This is a great opportunity, as we've been saying for a while, buy the dips, as Rob does.
I sweep a little bit every 2 weeks into my vaulted account. That's fine. Yep. But this time I'm like, ooh, I'm going to buy some of those five Indians and some more Morgan silver dollars.
There you go.
And then I bought some more today. And I'm like, this is fun. I love buying physical product in hand.
So that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head over to our website, McElvaney.com. That's McAlvaney.com, where you can find our podcast, Golden Rule Radio on YouTube, as well as any other info about investing in precious metals. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McElvaney Financial. And better yet, if you'd like to talk to one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.